Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 4. To Thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To Thee my supplication make. To Thee I bring my sad complaint. To Thee my bitter grief I take. And what follows in 1 through 4 of Psalter 388.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. But first, the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22 to the end. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, then there is not one of us that has a desire after thee, or who does see beauty in thy only begotten Son. As we have heard it in this morning hour, thou art fairer than the children of men. But we see no form, we see no beauty, we see no comeliness in thee. That is our death state. That is the state wherein we are so comfortable going through this world. That is a state of wrath. That is a state of unbelief. And if we shall die in that state wherein that we have been born, and then it shall be that we and our children are beaten with double stripes. O Lord, we can only say that we are not able from our side to make any change in that wretched and that sinful heart that lives in us by nature. O Lord, we beseech Thee then in this afternoon hour that Thou mayest come and that Thou mayest look upon us and upon our dear children. For there is no man that will seek after Thee, and yet Thou dost say, and forever at Thy side children's children shall abide. O Lord, then shall it be that also Thy church shall be found in the midst of us. O that Thou wouldst fulfill Thy own word. Wilt Thou awake then and not tarry, but wilt Thou come unto us and unto our dear children, and wilt Thou grant that converting grace that may give a new heart and a renewed will, new desires and new longings after Thee, the true and the living God. O Lord, we beseech Thee then for the dead. Oh, we cannot pray for the dead in a temporal way, but we may pray for the spiritual dead. O Lord, for Thou art able to raise the dead, and Thy promise is to do so. For among them are found even Thy own elect, of whom Thou hadst sworn already from that never begun eternity, and for whose sake Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world, whose work and whose resurrection from the dead would show forth Thy great and Thy mighty power. Oh, we can only beseech Thee on this Thy holy Sabbath day, wherein Thou hast risen from the dead, that Thou mayest also grant in the midst of us and of our children that new life. And when it is for us a week of examination of our own souls, or who is able to examine them, their own selves. And Lord, then we sing that also by time, search me, O Lord, and prove me and try my heart and my reins. Oh, see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in that way everlasting. Oh, that I may not go forward on my own account, only to eat and to drink myself into judgment, but that Thou may grant me that we may be kept, or that we may be kept from ourselves, and that we may be brought into that new and that everlasting covenant by Thee. Oh, to that end wilt Thou remember each and every one of Thy children. Lord, there is no desire for Thee by nature, but we have read it was only by constraint that Thou could send Thy disciples away from Thee, because one taste of Thy blessed nearness and Thy blessed communion, and then Thy children to say that to be near Thee all is well. And then it is only by constraint that they can be sent away. Oh, then it was not for any sin that was in them, but it was Thy holy will that they would be without Thy nearness and Thy presence, even for a little time. But Lord, Thou knowest that great storm, and how that in that storm they had to miss Thee. And Thou knowest each and every one of Thy children, because it is again a week wherein they are called to examine themselves, and then to not feel Thy nearness and Thy presence and Thy communion. In the midst of that warfare, wherein sin does show itself to be so strong, and my will, that new will, does show itself even to be so weak, Oh, then there is a people that do cry out for in the midst of that storm for fear of death and for that everlasting destruction. Oh, Lord, wilt thou remember them even in the week that is to come? Oh, that thou thyself would show thyself and be near and dear unto thy own. Oh, that thou may look upon all those in a special way that do tremble and do stand so afar off. Those that do look even in this day with longing at that blessed portion wherein thou favorest thy people. Lord, that thou may visit them with thy salvation. Oh, that thou may grant a cutting off, a complete cutting off of all our own work, of every way wherein we can find ourselves, of all our own righteousness and of all our own wisdom. Oh, that they may be given, even at their wits' end, to cry out unto thee in their trouble, and that thou may deliver them in all their distresses. Oh, then they shall sing thy praises. Oh, they shall sing the great goodness of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee, show thyself. Oh, revive thy own work in the midst of the years. Oh, it is so true that we have left the days without number, and we have turned to our own gods and our own idols, so that we are so well deserving that thou wouldst now leave us over to ourselves. But, Lord, we are as water that is spilt upon the ground, and we cannot gather it up again. Oh, we are dependent upon thee. Thou alone art able to grant us a blessing. And then through thy only begotten Son, do it for thy great and holy name's sake. Be with all those that need thee in special ways. Thou knowest the places where they are this day. Oh, that thou may hear the needy when they cry, that thou may save their souls when death draws nigh. Look upon young and old together, our children and our young people, our school, and all that instruct them in that place. Oh, that thy Spirit may be near to them. Oh, that they may be given in the days of their youth to see and to feel the vanity of this world. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That they may have a desire to flee from sin, and that they may have, that they may seek that righteousness which is to be found in thy only begotten Son. Lord, help us in this hour. Be with all thy servants. Give thy word free course over the length and breadth of this whole world. Strengthen us for noble duty in this hour. Oh, give us wisdom. Give us love. Give us discernment. Oh, grant us a renewed measure, the anointing of thy Holy Spirit, and that there may be not alone words, but that it may be the word of thee, sanctified to the heart of sinners, that thy children may receive a little instruction, and that there may be food in thine house, that the meek may eat and may be satisfied, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and He will make my needs His care. I trust Him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. And what follows in 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210, and the last collection today is for the Trinitarian Bible Society. beloved congregation, self-examination concerning the Lord's Supper that has to do with several matters. In the first place, we know that we need a church rite. Do we have such a church rite? That means that we need to be a confessing member of the church. Are we not? And if we are not, why are we not so? Because in this matter, a man cannot remain neutral. Then we need to read what our fathers have written in Article 28 of our Confession of Faith, that when we do not join ourselves to the church, that we break the unity of the church. In the second place, there must be an examination of our walk, of our life. Because a person can be in the midst of his family and community is so miserable that a man cannot live with him. And yet on Sunday, sitting at the table of the Lord and making all who know him to loathe the truth. These things, my brethren, ought not so to be. Are we conscious of an estrangement among one another, among God's children, or from the Lord himself? In the third place, we know it is necessary that we have, most importantly, a divine right. That is, of course, the most difficult. How is it that Peter may walk on the sea? You say that is by faith. And that is so. But we read that Peter, he began to sink. You say, did he then have no faith? That is not what Christ says. But he said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There is not one of that true church that has no faith. Because that faith that is planted by the Lord in the day, in the moment of regeneration, and that never dies. But how much trouble does that true church have with little faith? And that is now the purpose, the reason that the Lord Jesus has instituted his Holy Supper. That is not for the granting of faith, then we do not come to receive faith, but that is for the strengthening of faith. And therefore, it is not everyone who is invited, as we are invited each and every one into the house of God, but it is only those who may possess a true faith. You say, what is true faith? Do you still say, what is true faith? Because that is the question that we have been considering. What is true faith? And we wish to consider something of this also in this afternoon hour in connection with preparation for the Holy Supper of the Lord. And we will read once again question 21 of Lord's Day 7. Question 21 of Lord's Day 7, what is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. And we have been considering true faith defined. And we have heard of the ground of true faith, that is the truth and the faithfulness of God. And we have heard of the objects of true faith, that is the Word in general, but also in a special way, Christ, as He is proclaimed in the gospel. And we have heard of the aspects of true faith, and that is knowledge, assent, and trust. And what is the essence? That is that last one, and that is trust. That is not living in the mind, but that is now in the heart. And that is the only way that a man can say in truth, as we heard this morning, thou art fairer than the children of men. That is not a judgment of the mind, that is a judgment of the heart. We have heard of the duty of true faith. Why? Because unbelief, that is sin. But we also heard of the cause of true faith. Because the apostle, he says that faith, that is a gift of God. And so, when you say, I have not true faith, then you know where you may go to get it. That is not within yourself, but you may go to the Lord, because there is hope to receive it. And we promised you that we would try with the Lord's help to say something this afternoon about the assurance of true faith. Thus, that is our theme for this afternoon, which we wish to consider in three thoughts. First, the assurance of what we will call this afternoon the assurance of choice-making faith. In the second place, we like to consider the assurance of refuge-taking faith. And in the last place, we like to consider the assurance of the established in the faith. Thus, three thoughts. First, the assurance of choice-making faith. Second, the assurance of refuge-taking faith, and third, the assurance of the established in the faith. May the Lord bless His own word. Not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His word, but also an assured confidence. An assured confidence. And what is the question? What is true faith? Thus, our fathers are defining what true faith is. And in the very definition of true faith, then they are including an assured confidence. Thus, they include in the very definition of faith, assurance. Thus, in our self-examination concerning the Lord's Supper, we have to look for true faith. And then belonging to this true faith that is assurance. Thus, we must also look for this assurance. And that is similar to what we read in the form for the Lord's Supper. When we read that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him, only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Often the cause of great turmoil in the hearts of the faithful. And then especially in a week of preparation for the Holy Supper. Why? Because they experience within themselves, they say, if there is any faith, then indeed, then it is a very little faith. The Reformers, they have been very adamant that the assurance of faith that belongs to the essence of faith, that belongs to faith itself, and they would not let go of this. And why not? Because they were reacting against the error of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church says that assurance does not belong to faith. Indeed, that it is not possible to receive assurance while we are in the world. There is no assurance until a man reaches that place of glory. Why? Because Rome would keep souls anxious and under their own tyranny. That is the tyranny of that popish system. The Reformers have maintained that there is no faith without assurance. Because the essence of faith, we said, that is not just in our mind, but what is now the essence, what is really faith, that is trust. And trust, to trust, belongs assurance. But the doctrine of Rome, that was not the only thing that has come against the truth. There were other errors, and a century later, we know that there was not only a first Reformation, but there was a second Reformation. And in the second Reformation, then our fathers have had to defend the truth against other errors. And you know, children, now that the Roman Catholic Church, they say that knowledge that does not belong to faith, you must have an implicit faith without knowing the object at all, just believe implicitly in the Roman Catholic Church. And the less you know, the more praiseworthy that your faith is, because then you're only bowing under the church. So they say that knowledge is not necessary. But later on in the time of the Enlightenment, then it was just the opposite. Then they looked for faith to be in the knowledge. Thus, there had to come a discernment in our fathers to defend the truth against intellectualism. And now we have a great privilege Because we have behind us these defenses of the truth, not only in the Reformation, but also in the Second Reformation. Assured confidence. What is confidence? That has to do with trust. To trust someone, maybe with something, that is to confide in someone. Maybe that we confide, boys and girls, in our friend. We confide in him with a certain secret. Because this boy or this girl, this friend, they have our confidence. And confidence, that is something that is not just there or not there, but confidence is a matter of degree, is it not? Is it not possible that we say of someone, I have much confidence in him, or that we say, well, I am not sure, but I do have some confidence in that person. So confidence, that is a matter of assurance. What is assurance? Assurance, that is an expression of degree of confidence. So that when we say a person is assured, then we say it is a degree of confidence. So when we assure someone, or we reassure someone, we take away their doubts, and we try to give them more confidence. Our fathers, they say here, they say an assured confidence. An assured confidence is speaking about a very high degree of confidence, a very, very firm degree of trust. Because when we assure someone of something that is positive, then he receives rest. A person, he receives peace. He is reassured. And so we just plant habitus, but that faith, that is an act that trusts. And it is either planted or not planted in its habitus, but in its exercise, it's not. So it is possible for the Lord Jesus to say to Peter, O ye of little faith, great is thy faith. As faith that has pleasure. There is a faith that has little knowledge and has much assurance. That is so in a natural way with our children, our very children. When they are very small, then we say that they, well, then we know that they have little knowledge. They have much trust, much trust in mother. Well, you say, she came out of Moab by faith. In her heart, the same as that faith that is planted in the heart of each and every one of the children of or children will know that faith has objects. What would you say? Well, there was two things that she believed, because she did not know about Boaz yet. No, there was two things she believed. That she had no desire anymore to be in Moab. She saw the best in that people of the world. Thus, when the Lord, he is being faithful, then they believe something. Because we can read that he speaks about that pilgrim. And then he is saying to his wife and to his children, and certainly informed of what? He is certainly informed that fear. That was on the one side. And so that new other thing informed of, because it is through that word of God that there is a way of salvation. Read John Owen. Then they see that there is a way of salvation. When she begins to trust, called Boaz, he said of her to her, he says, on whose wings thou art come to trust. So she began to trust. Through Naomi speaking of the God of Israel in the land of Moab. Was that trust that was given in heart Ruth while she was there in Moab? She would say, I have no trust. I have faith. But when you only see and what it has wrought in her life, then you see the strength of it. Because it was by living in heart that she was ready to leave father and mother and country and God behind her. And does very easily in this world. Because Ruth, she had also a natural. And Ruth explained all that is living in her heart. She can't have a child that trust either. They cannot even speak. But there was one thing that Ruth could say. She should not leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. But we see, and the choice that was a very, very firm choice that was living in and that was saying to every temptation that would come against that choice to do as Solomon said, or treat me not to leave thee. And so we see, even in the very beginning, that is seen by people, that there is a very, very strong confidence. The assurance or the confidence that newborn faith that is very often much greater than that people realize. Because most that he chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of suffering. Is that your choice also? The choice of our hard nature is not to serve the people of the Lord. The choice by nature is to enjoy all the pleasures of suffering which we are. But by that faith that is born inclination, new direction, and there is a drawing up of the drawbridge, because then there is a heart that is convinced, there is a heart that is assured that the Lord is going to destroy this place, but there is a heart that is so convinced that there is no way to be found in all this world. And then when Solomon, he said, man of vanities, such a cord that struck their hearts with that words, with the words of that preacher. But when that man came out of that city of destruction, then though when the ministers point out to the way of destruction, see it not, still he must see that he does think see that yonder shall. Then there is something. There is something for the people that is shining in that word of God. So they said, oh, remember me. Remember with that favor that thou bearest unto all thy people. Faith that makes a choice. Faith that is operating. When they begin to, they are 20 years on the way. Know that faith that is beginning to operate even in the day that it is born. In those days, and it is in later years, because how often do God's children with home, whose days have gone with the multitude to the house of God, the voice of children. And we can read how that Solomon portrays that bride, that experienced church, as ones and believing and know that she is closer to meeting that she is. So she says, if you see my beloved, tell him something from me. Tell him that I am sick of love. We read of Israel at Egypt, and we read that their cry came up to the congregation. Is there a people, our children, our degraded ones, that the cry is coming up to the bondage? We read that people that the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, and when Moses came and spoke to that people, that the Lord had remembered them and that it sent to them to deliver. The people, they bowed their heads and they worshipped. They worshipped. Then there was not worship. No, but they may worship the Lord. They may acknowledge the Lord. Why? Because they are. Because the Lord gives to them in that moment an expectation. At the very beginning. And when the Lord, he is giving that soul to cry to heaven. And when the Lord is giving also in the heart an expectation. What do you think they will tell you, children? Well, they will not tell you anything. They will say they have expectation. But if they have no expectation, why do they come to the church? They have expectation in that word of God, not only on Sunday, but also during the week. If there is no expectation in a church, and then why do they cry? They come up to the Lord. Wherefore, tears, if there is no expectation, then eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No. No, because the Lord is giving in their soul an expectation. They can tell you about it. Because because they don't know. Well, because they explain it. Why? Well, because they are just like that little child. Because it is a faith, but it is a faith that is of little knowledge. It is a faith that is missing. It is a faith that doesn't know, but it is a faith that desires, because what is the essence of faith? Where does it lie? It lies in the heart, not in the mind. And it is now that heart that is going after, that heart that is longing, that heart that is desiring, that heart that is missing. And sin, oh, they would not tell you that they know the first part of it. And yet they are just beginning to learn what is the cause of that separation. Oh, there is a faith congregation, a faith that cannot answer any of your questions. There is a religion today that is always asking that people questions. And you must now answer my questions. But that faith cannot answer those questions, because it is of little knowledge. But does it exist? Oh, it exists. We can see that by the fruits of it. Because of what? Because it is cleaving. Because it is choosing. Thus we say, a faith that makes a choice. A choice. And already, that faith that has a blessed assurance, tell them to leave it all off. Tell them to go back. It is congregation impossible, impossible. But we ask you, is that now this faith, that choice-making faith, because of that new inclination, because of that new heart that knows so little, is that faith now sufficient that a man may come forward to partake of the table of the Lord? What is our answer to this question that is important for you? Boys and girls, maybe some of you have at home a little brother or sister, because we have baptism and there are a lot of little children. And now that little baby will ask you a question. That little baby, is that little baby allowed to come to sit at the table with you when you eat? Well, you say, of course he is allowed. Yes, of course he is allowed. And why is he allowed? Well, because he is my brother, because he is my sister. That's right. He has the same right that you do to eat at that same table, doesn't he? Now, my next question. And so, do you sit him there? Do you bring him there? Say no. Why not? He is allowed. Yes. Say he is allowed. But you say it's not fitting. It's not fitting. And why is it not fitting? Well, you say the food that is on that table, that is food he cannot eat yet. That now, congregation, is the answer to our question. That choice-making faith. Is that people allowed to come here to the Lord's table? There is not one. There is not one of that true church of God that does not have a right. That does not have a right to eat at that table. Blessed. Blessed, the Lord Jesus says, are they that do hunger and do thirst after righteousness. Are they here too? But, yet we must say, though they would never They would never, there is not such a thing as that people to eat and to drink damnation to themselves. That is impossible. But the question is, can they profit from that food that Christ sets before them at the table of the Lord? And then we must say, no. No. No eating and drinking judgment. But there also cannot yet be profit. Why not? Because the objects at the table have not yet become the objects of their faith. Thus, they cannot eat their food yet. They need milk and not meat. That is the first thing. There is one more thing. When Ruth left Moab, then Orpah went along. And Orpahs, they go along a long ways. A long ways. And Orpah, she also wept, just as Ruth. And Orpah, she said the same as Ruth. She said, surely, we will go with thee. Thus, it seemed like Orpah made exactly the same choice as Ruth. Outwardly, she did. But was it the same? It was not the same. But then we cannot tell the difference between the choice of Ruth and the choice of Orpah, except by the further leadings of the Lord. Let us sing first. 114, 1 and 5 through 7. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see. And longs the living God to see. 1, 5, 6, and 7 of 114.
Thank you.
our second thought. That is the assurance of refuge taking faith, because there is not only an assurance that is in that faith that makes a choice, but there is also an assurance, and that our fathers speak of in a special way in our Lord's Day and also concerning the Lord's Supper, in that faith that takes refuge, or that faith that casts itself. Thus, Peter, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And this casting, that is an act of faith. It is not possible for the soul to cast itself upon Christ outside of faith. Why not? Because it must lose its own life, and we will not lose our life. At the border of Canaan, then Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Let us go. Let us go forward. We can overcome them." That was by faith. The other spies, they said no. And why not? Because they could not rest upon the promise of the Lord that the Lord would indeed certainly give them the land. But the giants, they were in their eyes much too strong. And they felt a safety in their present place that they could not discern on that other side of that river. And thus it was impossible for them to go forward. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says that whoso will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, even the same shall save it. Esther, when Mordecai said, "You must go in unto the king," she says, "The king has not called me." And there is one law of him that comes in before the king unasked, and that is that he shall be put to death, except that the king holds out that golden scepter. What was necessary? Mordecai said to Esther, he said, "Think not that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Thus, the foundation for that safety of Esther, Mordecai takes away. He says, "Esther, you are not safe where you are." And this was so necessary that that foundation under her feet that be taken away, in order that she may agree to say, "I will go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish." Thus the Lord, he must take away our foundations. He must strip from us our safety, because we think that we are safe, but we are not safe. But the Lord, he must show to us the brokenness of that covenant wherein we are existing, to show to us that when we remain in this place, that we will certainly be destroyed. That is the first thing. That is, we are cut off. To be cut off from our own work, to be cut off from our own righteousness, to be cut off from our own wisdom, and everything that we are trusting upon, first to be cut off from that. And then something else, that the Lord will show to us another foundation, a foundation that is so sure, and that that when we were to rely on it, that our soul would never be put to shame. And what is that foundation? Oh, boys and girls, we have spoken about that. That is the ground, you remember, that truth and the faithfulness of the Word of God, and that is concerning His only begotten Son, and what He will show Himself to be, to a wretched and a damn worthy sinner, so that we are cut off from Adam, and that the Lord is showing before us that new and that living way that is so necessary. Why? Because congregation Christ, He is such a hidden person. I know that many say the opposite, but if we will ask God's true people, they will tell you that that is now the truth. When the disciples, they were in the storm, then they could not go to Jesus. No, then the Lord Jesus had to come to them. And if the Lord Jesus did not come to them, then there was no going to Jesus. Had they desired to go to Him, they had no desire to leave Him. And when did the Lord Jesus come? When does the Lord Jesus come to His people? He comes to them in that height of that storm. When He came to them, they were afraid. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, be of good cheer. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, what that people do experience in that height of that storm, in that fear of that forever perishing outside of God. And then for the Lord to appear and to say to their soul, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What did then Peter say? Oh, Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Bid me come. Bid me come to thee. You say a bold thing Peter asked for. Paul says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Is that an unholy boldness? Peter, he did not just jump overboard, but he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord. He says, Lord, may I come? May I come? Do you ask the Lord? Say, Lord, I have no feet to go. I have no hands to take it. That you say, Lord, may I come? Draw me, we will run after thee. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, come. He said, come. And that is now what the soul is hearing. We spoke about that offer, if you will call it, that call, that outward call. But congregation, it must become more than an outward call. It must become an inward call. And that soul that has to hear it in that desire, oh, that Christ, He says, come. He says, come. And now, then they may come. How is that? Because Peter has to leave. If there was any place in that whole sea that you would say was safe, it would be in that boat. But Peter, he has to leave that boat. And it is all congregation with a desire for what? Oh, that is for a desire to be near to Christ, because, oh, near Him all is well. And Peter, then he goes overboard. He leaves. He forsakes that foundation, that safety wherein he is. And with a full assurance of faith, then he is going overboard. It cannot be otherwise. Do you think, young people, that you would jump out of that boat? How can you jump out of that boat? You say, here I am safe. There I am not safe. No, Peter, he says, there I am safe. Why? Because Christ, he says, come. And Peter may experience that he may come. Oh, do you know what that is? To experience that you may come. Oh, that you are drawn to him. Are there then fears in the way? Oh, we know what has happened. Then that faith that is not always the same, that is going up and that is going down. And then there is a cry, Lord, save me. And so he receives that hand of Christ, but he receives the experience of the faithfulness of Christ in that coming, that all is well. And then he may be near unto Christ. And all the fears, they are rebuked by Christ. And they are all taken away by Christ. And so that soul that may take refuge unto Christ, may flee unto him, and may experience the great faithfulness of the Lord concerning that promise. That is what our fathers are speaking about here. When they say that it is an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's mercy. Everything. Everything in that moment that is included in it. Because there is one eye that is the eye upon Christ. And then for such as I am, that is what is written in the Word of God. His name next to my name, that Christ, he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And now something of this refuge-taking faith, with that assurance, oh, many doubts and fears, yes, many sinkings, but there is also a knowledge, an experience of that going out of that ship unto Christ in a blessed assurance and a fulfillment of that promise of the Lord, that they will certainly not be made ashamed. But you say, I do not have the assurance that my sins are forgiven me. Well, we ask you then, do you know of that assurance in that moment when Christ was revealed to your soul? In that moment, was there now anything missing for you in that moment? Was there now anything lacking when the Lord gave your eye to only be upon him? Do you know nothing then of that blessed assurance of that refuge-taking faith? And that blessedness and the certainty of that foundation upon which that you may be given to fall? But if you are talking about that more steadfast assurance that the Lord is giving to that more mature faith, then you are speaking about something else. Then you speak about something that is not included in the definition of faith. All our fathers, they are united in this, that assurance that is belonging to the established in the faith is not part of the essence of faith. If a little baby fathers, you put that little baby up in the air and he is not afraid. Not afraid. And if he was in a high place and you say, child, come into my arms, he would fall right in your arms. Right? Yes. Oh, that is that refuge-taking faith that is looking directly at Christ when he reveals himself. And something of this is belonging to the essence of faith. And something of that is necessary. But we have children, boys and girls, older ones, young people. They are grown up already. And they also trust their father. And they trust their father when they are away from their father. They trust their father when they do not even see their father. How can that be? You are away, young people. Say, there in Fort McLeod is a house I can go to, and there is a man there, and he will give me bread, and he will sustain me, and give me a good place to sleep. I know he will. Someone says, how do you know that? He is my father. He is my father. Thus, you trust because of relationship. Because you know that you are a son. That is not a direct act of faith. That is a reflexive act of faith. That is trusting because of the relation. And this reflexive act of faith does not belong to the essence of faith. It is not belonging to the definition of faith. And thus, this also is not required in order that a person may be a partaker of the table of the Lord. Indeed, the table of the Lord is a means to that faith. Blessed faith. Blessed faith. To be desired. Why? Then they are not up and down on the waves. Because the Lord, he is not with his people, with his felt presence all the time. And that is now giving that more steadfast, certain trust. Oh, to be desired. Therefore, brethren, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Never fall. Never fall into what? Oh, that wretched and that God-dishonoring unbelief. Never fall, but always to believe. Even through the midst of the strife, oh wretched man that I am, always to believe, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Blessed faith. Say, how does a man come to that faith? We are way past time. Just for one moment. How does a man come to that faith? Bible says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That is one way. That is an inward testimony of the Holy Spirit. But there are more ways. And one way is the fatherly dealings, because the Lord, he says that he chastises his sons. He chastises his sons. We can read of the work the work because James, he says that we are justified not by faith only, but also by works. And then this is what he speaks about. But congregation, if your father will tell you, I am your father, then you will know that you are a son. And so we can read it in the Word of God, that the Lord, he speaks, and that he says that you have received that spirit of adoption, whereby ye say, Abba, Father. But now in the last place, what is it? It is the Holy Supper of the Lord. That is also another means. Because in that supper, then the Lord is presenting unto his church that have a heart that desires to be rid of sin. To be rid of sin. Do you desire to be rid of sin? And who are not able to rid themselves of sin. Oh, then he is setting before them the tokens of that blessed suffering and that blessed death. And then he is saying, in those tokens and through that institution, sealing unto their soul, and that he has laid all their transgressions upon him. May the Lord bless his word and his sacrament. Oh, that there may be congregation, a place in our inner chamber this week, a self-examination. We don't need to do everything in this world this week. Can we put a little aside? Oh, to devote a little time. A little time to this. You say, I know already I cannot come. If that is so, you say, I have no faith. I have no faith. We have spoken of the source. We cannot miss it. We cannot miss it. On our journey to that great eternity, oh, let it be a week then that you plead with the Lord himself to give to you what you cannot miss. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, thou dost put all our fears to shame. We acknowledge thee for all thy help. And wilt thou bless thy own word? Oh, make it clear for each and every one, Lord. But not only clear, oh, give the desires, that it may not be in our minds alone. Thou dost work, O Lord, in the heart. We need that new disposition. We need that new heart. We need new longings and desires. Who can give this unto ourselves? Oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Bring us safely to our places. Help us in this week. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. 73, 2, 5, and 6. The Lord, O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.